not equal to this, is which it would be if there were no convenience yield. Suppose you saw it less. You might say, oh, well, that's an arbitrage opportunity. What do you do if the forward price is less than it ought to be? You buy forwards, but now, unfortunately, what do you have to do? You have to short the underlying asset. But when you short the underlying asset, that means you have to find someone who's going to lend you the underlying asset. Now, that person might not be sufficiently happy if all you do is give him back the underlying asset a year from now. Because maybe what he really wanted to do was sell the underlying asset in the middle of the year. Right? For stock, you don't have to worry about this. But for a commodity, maybe all the commodity should, in extreme case, should have been consumed in the middle of the year. And if all I do is give it back to you at the end of the year, that's not, I'm not really paying you back, because you've lost your major opportunity, which is to sell it in the middle of the year. So he's going to demand something more for you, from you, than he would in the case of an asset that's not used for consumption or production. And that more that he demands is called a convenience yield. So now, that means, that gives you this other, a different bound down here when you follow the analysis out. So you can only say that the forward price lies in between those two if there are no riskless arbitrage opportunities. Now, I just want to mention one other thing. Sometimes people define the convenience yield differently. They combine that convenience yields as whatever y would have to be for f to equal this. That's different than I'm doing here. I'm looking at it as though there's some flexibility here, y and it sets up bounds, upper and lower bounds, depending on whether you try to eliminate the arbitrage by going long the underlying asset, which you would here, or go having to go short the underlying asset by going there. Yes. It's sort of like an option value, right? If you have the asset, you have an option to consume or produce, use it for production prior to the delivery date, and the value of that option is what gives rise to the value of the convenience yield. I haven't looked at this, but my guess is here I'm going to tell you that this is a little embarrassing to say for my field. I don't think the academic research in this area is very good. And only recently have we really had papers that have explicitly looked at convenience yield as an option, or just beginning to explicitly look at convenience yield as an option to consume the underlying asset early, and then try to value, see how you're quite on the right track, how big Y should be as measured by the value of this option. But there's only two papers I know of that even come close to doing this, and I don't think they do it right. But that's, I think, the way to go. But my field needs more work on this, and anybody here who's a PhD student might want to think about that. It's a good subject. This is an important subject, and it surprises me we don't have better results. I mean, convenience yield is, by and large, has been thought of up to this time as sort of a filler. You know, it's sort of whatever happens to crate cause F to be equal to this, and then you say, well, what is it really? And then you come up with these stories about consumption and production if you really think about it. But there's very little attempt to kind of try to determine what Y is in some independent way. The people look at inventories, level of inventories. If inventories are high, convenience yield may not be so high because there's a lot, like in gold, for example, convenience yield isn't high because there's huge levels of inventories. You're not going to need to use it for consumption. If inventories are low, convenience yield tends to be higher. And then in some models, it's simply assumed that Y follows some stochastic process. It's just thrown in, and then they say, okay, now what are forward prices are, and what are options worth? But the problem is that where did that stochastic, what justified assuming that Y was going to follow this particular process? There's no economics. It's just sort of thrown at you. And that's what we need to get over. Did you have something to say, Dirk? No, okay, yes.
So on a T-bill or any kind of bond, the convenience yield is essentially that interest rates could have spiked during the time.
No, there's no convenience yield. You don't use bonds for consumption or production.
How would it, I guess what I'm thinking is that if I lent out my bond and interest rates went up, or interest rates went down, my bond is more valuable, I may decide to sell.
You can sell it, but you're not going to cause it to disappear. You're not going to consume it.
Do I get it back? I mean, it's just assuming that I get it back from you, but you get it from someone else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's no reason.
It doesn't actually disappear.
No, it doesn't disappear. What you want is when the supply disappears in the middle because people need to use it for consumption or production. I have to agree that this point is a little hard to see. And again, it's another one of these things where I've kind of said what I want to say. You might go back and read the book. another time in these particular sections and see what it says, and then think about it for a while. And I think you'll be able to feel comfortable with it. But this is something you need to think about. And this happens in this course now and then. I mean, I reach the limit of my ability in some of these cases to explain these concepts. And I'm not too ashamed of myself, because these aren't easy concepts to explain. And most courses like this wouldn't even bother to tell you about some of these things. Or they'd tell you, but they wouldn't give you any explanation really that would be satisfactory.